Welcome to episode 191.
Getting ahead of yourself.
I'm Gail Saunders here with Evan Hollywood Hearn and Jimmy Smith in the building and Prime in the building. And tonight we're getting defensive about our defense. The Eagles' defense, you know, it's not as high power as it used to be. It's not the gangrene defense of old. It's not Reggie White. It's not the. But we do have Fletcher Cox in the fold. Javon Hargraves leading the way. And we have Darius Slay. We do have playmakers. But, you know, the way that our defense is set up, we could need a CB2. We could need some free agents. We could need some draft picks. We could need a cornerback in the second round, perhaps. So tonight we're just trying to figure this out live and have the people join in the discussion and try to figure out what players they're looking at. And we're going to play GM tonight. Everyone's going to put their GM hats on. Evan, how are you feeling, my friend?
Doing great. I think we're off to a great start. We just had an episode the other day. We were talking about the addition of Anthony Harris, which I see that some people are already in here commenting on. I was very big on that. I thought that just shoring up that safety position, I thought that was a total step up from Jalen Mills. You know, thankful for everything that Jalen's done for us, but ultimately I think Anthony Harris was a step up from him last year. And I'm excited to see what Jonathan Gannon is going to do with this defense, man. We got to completely return the page. Tabula rasa, clean slate. So we're turning the page with this defense, and I'm hoping that it's going to be a lot better this next year.
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited. This is a topic that I've been definitely looking forward to. You know, I mean, being on the defensive side, I am just as well excited for the Harris signing. So, you know, I mean, that was like the cherry on the top that we just needed to go ahead and get on the board with a free agency signing. So, you know, I mean, you know, the breakdown that we're going to go ahead and give everybody tonight, I'm looking forward to go ahead and actually chime in on that.
I'm feeling pretty good tonight. You know, plenty of room to be defensive about the defense, Gale. You know, this defense was pretty bad last year. And, you know, these guys just mentioned what an upgrade it was for Anthony Harris. Love Green Goblin. Best wishes to you. But great addition there. And I think Andrew Adams is a great addition to the special teams unit over Rudy Ford. So, you know, we talked about the fact that we wouldn't be able to make too many additions in free agency, but maybe some one-year deals just because of the cap going up next year. So love the addition there. Excited to talk about this defense.
Now, shout out to Joey Shakes in the chat. He says, Steve Nelson is the best coverage corner available at the moment. Released from the Steelers. Eagles have interest in linebacker Neville Hewitt. Steven Nelson is a guy that's plenty of people. Shout out to Tim. He dropped that in my DM a couple days ago. He's like, we got to get Steven Nelson. We got to get somebody. CB2 is a thing. Yeah. Dory Jackson did not leave New York. He must have liked the pizza better than he did these cheesesteaks in Philly.
Big bagel guy.
Bad move.
Big bagel.
I agree with Joey Shakes, though, dude, for sure. I made a video as soon as he got released. We need to add a cornerback too. There's plenty of veterans out there, and I think, you know, I agree completely with Joey there. Steven Nelson would be a great addition.
Yeah, I mean, you start looking at the defense here. When you start looking at them on paper, then you start feeling a certain way about, you know, Darius Slay obviously locking it down. You know, Lil Tate is still Lil Tate. Shout out to him. He has a pair of my custom kicks. Kevon Seymour, you know, these are just the guys at the moment. I think Craig James has the best looking profile. Look at that. He's got the earring and he's got the do-rag. That's a nice combo. Michael Jacquet, the ex-tire salesman. You know, again, just the guy. Jameson Houston. He looks like one of my uncles. How old is this guy? LeVert Hill.
Yeah.
I mean, the way that our cornerback group is set up.
You know what that cornerback room is? That is $100 bill and a bunch of ones wrapped inside of it. You just see the 100. Looks like you got a big wad, but you fan that bitch out. It gets pretty thin.
Wow.
That's true.
So sad. So sad.
Wow. I mean, first of all, I'm just going to give a big shout out to Mr. J.C. Horn over here, because his pro day was amazing. This guy is one of the corners out there who could be a difference maker. Definitely made some more money today with a great pro day. I think, you know, people in the chat are already talking cornerback. You know, like, where was it? Eugene. He's talking about, I need a CB2. You know, shout out to Otis. What's up for joining the live chat as well? Yes, I see Joey sees it too, man. I mean, this lineup is the best thing about that lineup group was the do-rag and the earring. Combination was the best thing about that graphic.
That's not going to put wide receivers like stopping them in their tracks every week, though. The do-rag and the earring, that only gets you so far. I mean, obviously, I know someone was in here talking about, can we please stop talking about Avante Maddox as – thank you. Can we please stop pretending Maddox is good? I mean, that's something we talked about, you know, all of last year. It's just that this guy can't – he's not an outside corner. He can't line up and be that cornerback two that we were anticipating him being. So this needs to be addressed either in free agency or the draft. I think it's more likely the way that our bank account is set up, as Gail likes to say, that it gets addressed in the draft.
Poor Tay-Tay.
Sad is this was the topic last year, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But can we also address that the way that we set our players up for success is a thing. Like if I put, you know, you on the outside, knowing that you're most likely inside, I'm doing you a disservice. I mean, they've put him outside, slot, and safety. Like, the things that we do, you know, we cross-train some of our corners. Not all corners are created equal. Some players can do it, some can't. But I think as a depth piece, I think he is serviceable. I'm not saying he's all-world. Once he becomes all world, we will not call him Lil Tay-Tay. let's see. I mean, going to the safety position, we all know it's not as laughable as could it be?
I don't know. Well, especially now with the addition of Harris, and once McLeod comes back, it gets less laughable.
So we, you know, starting off with Anthony Harris that we just brought into the fold. You know, I love that signing. I thought that was a good value signing. Rodney McLeod, ACL, recovering from that. You know, behind him, you know, we have Marcus Epps, Andrew Adams just brought into the building. Just guys right now. You know, the DB hybrids, Graylin Arnold, Elijah Riley. These look like you know, when you look at the group again, you're like, who are these guys? But they are on my team. But you're like, I know them.
I
really know them.
The sad part is that we didn't even get to linebacker. Yeah, that's going to be the biggest.
Yeah,
that's already a joke.
Yeah, but on that picture, that's where you need to put Avante Maddox, because you talked about where they used him. That's where Avante Maddox excels. And I don't mean as a starter. A depth piece, a guy that could be your fourth corner, hybrid, you know, guy that comes in the slot and safety. So, yeah, Maddox isn't good on the outside, but great point there, you know, Gail, saying the way you use him. And Jonathan Gannon, being a defensive back coach, guy with a familiar background just in that area, I think it's going to bode well for all of our secondary. But Avante Maddox, I think they could hopefully find a way to use him.
Mm-hmm. Now, Eugene says, even Fitzpatrick and Daniel Jones would have a field day against that CB group.
Which they already have.
I mean, I do have a graphic of the wide receivers that we are going to face. I'll show that later, but that's kind of scary. We have Tyreek Hill. We have Julio Jones, Calvin Ridley. We have them all. Add Galladay to that mix, and it's going to be a great time for our cornerback group. So they have some work to do. Overall, I mean, our secondary, they have, you know, this is where we're trying to, like, some of the people in the chat are showing up and not realizing what kind of show we're having. We're getting defensive about the defense. So there's a lot of takes about Smith, Chase, and Pitts. We got it. We will be talking draft probably at the end of the show. I mean, offensive, if you really want to get offensive. But your defensive takes, we really want to know what you guys feel about what defensive pieces you want to add and bring to the table. Because, I mean, do you need a CB2? I think, obviously, it's time for bring in a veteran cornerback. You know, we mentioned Steven Nelson, AJ Bouye's out there.
Yep.
Richard Sherman's talking about going back to Seattle.
But we're also like, let's not bury the lead here. We're strapped for cash. So, I mean, those are some big names that you just threw out there. I don't think realistically we can afford a Richard Sherman and AJ Bouye, any of those guys, really. I think that those are more, they're going to end up on teams with some more money to burn.
If the guy is interested in banking on himself, he could possibly sign a one-year deal. As you've seen with Anthony Harris, a guy that could have definitely gotten bigger money. There, he said he listened to his agent. And what a lot of these agents are going to be telling these players right now is the fact that the cap is going to go up exponentially next year. So you're going to have so much more money. Bank on yourself. Go out, beat some ass. And maybe the Eagles give Anthony Harris a bigger contract. Maybe they give somebody else one of these corners a bigger contract.
Yeah, we mentioned that a lot in the last podcast. I think that these one-year deals are definitely going to go ahead and rise up because of the fact that the cap is going up next year. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I agree with you, Jimmy. I mean, I think I see a lot of 1 years. And I mean, hey, look, surprisingly, we could go ahead and sign one out of those two guys for a 1 year deal. Just bring them in, let them shine, get their, you know, their stats up, and they could go out there for a big contract next year.
Yeah, guys with down years, right? And they could come here and definitely get playing time. So
people have mentioned Gary and Conley.
Yep, that's another good one.
As a potential target.
Malcolm Butler.
Yeah, we all know him. Super Bowl Malcolm Butler.
That's what got him all the money that he's made in his entire career, though. But yeah, he's been a decent cornerback since, right? It's serviceable. But he's not like next year. But that you understand what I'm saying, though. That
gave him
a contract that he wasn't exactly earning at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he ended up going to Tennessee after that one, something
like that.
Kelly mentions that Bouye's been cut twice now. He's got something to prove.
Exactly. That's one of those guys.
For the money I'm trying to spend, you can come in for that cheap. But there's also the idea of, you know, Pete, shout out to Pete, Nathan in the chat, always a commenter. We appreciate you. He mentioned some guys in the second round that I was going to talk about. Greg Newsome, Tyson Campbell, Eric Stokes.
Got the wheels, man.
All guys are running 4.2s like it's going out of style these days. But also, it's these pro days are going to run a little bit faster.
Yeah, I think.
We just did, shout out to Chris Malley. We did a video on Asante Samuel Jr. Imagine having an Asante and Avante. That's two little Tay-Tays. Because, you know, Asante's a second round value, 5'10", 180. You know, he's not like the most physical guy out there, but he's got the athleticism, natural in space.
He's got the genes.
He can break on those balls. No, you don't know what I'm saying. But he can make some breaks on some of these balls. I actually have some video in the chat here. I don't even know if you can see that with the comment in the way.
I got it.
Yeah, I mean, he's one of those guys that actually can, you know, come up and he can play. He can play in zone. You know, this play right here, almost breaks it up. We'd like to see some more picks like his daddy, but he is stunting like his daddy. Like his stock is on the rise a little bit. I think some people might think he sneaks into the first round. I think he's a second round value, but he said he's a dog, just like Jair Alexander, same size. But Jair was supposed to be second round value, but his stock rose and he got drafted by Green Bay in the first round and it's good.
And ended up being a really good cornerback for them, though, too. I mean, his stock rose, and I'm thinking that Asante Samuel could have the same sort of path in his career. I mean, I think that he does have that dog in him. He's got that swagger about him, and he's a playmaker. He makes good jumps on the ball. I just think he needs to grow in a system, and where else better than a new system right here?
Yeah, it's not because he can't play outside. You know, he struggles out there, and I think he would maybe struggle in the NFL. But, you know, there's a chance for him to improve his game. So maybe give the kid a chance. But I agree with Gale. I don't think he's necessarily a first-round talent, but maybe mm-hmm. people will be mistaken, and, you know, he'll turn out to be a stud. He's got the genes, that's for sure.
Do you think that we're getting a little bit too enraptured by the name? Do you think that's what's like grabbing onto people too much? It's Asante Samuel.
I mean, some people would just say, you know, but if
he's good though,
if you watch this, you know, he has the ability. Oh, Pete says here, he mentioned more of a slot guy. I mean, he can play outside and inside. He's played outside his whole life. But like, you know, when people are like, is he physical enough? Can he make the tackle? You know,
that's
This is him tackling AJ Dillon. We all know who AJ Dillon is.
Big boy.
Exactly.
He's not afraid to come up and make, you know, like some guys are, they don't care about their bodies. Like, could his frame be an issue on the next level? Maybe, but I'm
it looks like that's the advantage he has over his dad.
Yeah, exactly. He actually hits people. And that's the thing. He does. So why couldn't he improve his game and get better? I think he definitely will excel in the NFL.
Yeah.
You know, I've seen some people in the comments talking about linebackers. I mean, one linebacker, shout out to Joe, who says I would take Micah Parsons with the number one pick. Mm. Now, if you guys have not when I pick someone in the top 10, they got to be squeaky clean. There's got to be no character concerns, anything. Like, if I don't know if you guys looked into, you know, Micah's issue with the hazing issue and him telling one of his teammates.
Why are you dancing around the bush?
I mean, I'm going to Sandusky you and I guess put his genitals on the buttocks of another player. Like, it's a weird thing. Like, you do the research. I put you in that path. Start looking now. I don't know. It's kind of weird, man. Like,
yeah, you tell people that story, and they're like, you know what? I'm gonna go ahead and hold off on that thought process.
I want my top 10. Like, believe me, when I was what's his name from Alabama, the missile. He was on Washington, and he dropped his stock dropped.
Santana Moss.
You know what I'm talking about.
Linebacker,
Alabama.
Oh, linebacker. I thought you said.
I can't think of his name. My brain is dead, dude.
Yeah.
We'll come back to it.
But yeah. I'm saying, like, I wanted him in the draft, and then he had so much character concerns that he dropped in the draft.
Oh, and Reuben Foster, the guy that Reuben got drafted by the Niners. Yes.
Reuben Foster.
Yeah. I was thinking of the DT from Clemson who was tickling
tanks. I missed the first part of what you said.
Christian Wilkins.
Yeah, that was an interesting draft class.
Yeah.
I'm throwing that in the chat. I'm like, did you see this from the draft process?
That was an interesting draft class there.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, Chris says Foster. Yep. Foster. Yeah, I mean, Reuben Foster. We all saw what happened. Like, I saw Ozzie Newsome pass on an Alabama linebacker. I knew exactly what I'm like. If Ozzie Newsome, who has ties to Alabama, passes on him,
there's something up.
So, you know, talk about linebackers. Everyone's talking about linebackers. We all like to talk about linebackers. Here.
Before you get into that, Gale, I just wanted to say, you know, when you're looking at this defense where they struggled, one of the funniest things to me, and this kind of linebacker, perfect middle time to talk about this, you know, because it's tackling and coverage when it comes to our linebackers, especially predominantly nickel, two nickel linebackers coming out here. So I think that, you know, when you look at last year's stats, we were 14th. That's the only stat. We were 14th in pass yards per game that we were in the top half of yards allowed. And then when it comes to touchdowns, we were 15th, and I believe it was 1.7 touchdowns allowed in the passing game. When it came to rushing, we gave up 125.8 yards per game, I do believe it was. That is good for 18th in the NFL, and then 21st, and that was actually 1.2 touchdowns per game in rushing the ball. So we need help. Linebacker, I think we have a couple guys that are good against the run, but coverage linebacker I would look for.
Todd says Cox behind Cox. How about that?
Jabril Cox. Yeah.
Jabril Cox, LSU, NDSU, if that's the Cox you're talking about. Yeah. There's a lot of Cox talking here.
Well, it all started with Micah Parsons.
Yeah. yeah. So moving right along.
Please.
I'm gonna like when you're doing these graphics, sometimes you need something to make you laugh. And I came across another profile, Sean Bradley with the duet and the earring combo. That's between him and Craig James. I mean, they could be the new Drew Hill, maybe.
Drew Hill,
maybe.
Where's the dragon?
Now we all love Alex Singleton for what he did. I gotta get him
a hair dryer.
Talk about role player, and has the, you know, the nice 80s look. What is that, White Snake look? Not White Snake, but
don't you dare put that name
not
on
that
him.
White Snake. The other White Snake.
Yeah.
TJ Edwards, is he really a three down player?
No.
That we could. I mean, he's the two down thumper. Do we need a linebacker in space?
Yeah.
Jannard Avery moving from defensive end to linebacker, and this is how he's like, I gave up a draft pick. I got to do whatever I could do to make this work. Davion Taylor, in theory, is supposed to be that guy that we believe in the future. He's an athletic guy that can run. Is the football IQ there yet? Sean Bradley, again, amazing durag, gearing combination. Temple's own. Knows everything about his opposing players by going to their IG pages. Love that pettiness. Rashad Smith and Joe. You tell me how you spell say his name.
Bocce
balls. So, how are you guys feeling about it after looking at those guys? What are you feeling? What are the initial reaction and feeling when you look at that group?
I mean,
we have no linebackers.
We got no linebackers. No. I mean, if you were to take some of these guys to another team, they're not starting or playing at all. I mean, you take Alex Singleton, any single one of them on most teams, these guys aren't NFL starters. So I would say that entire core needs to be revamped. And that is something that you just can't ignore, like we've been doing year after year after year. I'm really hoping that the Eagles are locking in on drafting a linebacker. Hopefully by the end of day two.
It's scary as shit. I mean, besides Alex Singleton, who else is there to talk about out of that core? Nobody. So yeah. I mean, like, I think that we're probably going to have to spend at least three picks on the linebacker position in this damn draft.
Yeah, I say help me, dear Lord, help me when I see that. We've talked about this for years in and years out, guys. Why the Eagles don't put an emphasis on the linebacker position, I don't know. But you think that with Jonathan Gannon, watching what Darius Leonard, Anthony Walker were able to do for the Colts, you'd hope that maybe they give him a linebacker. So I would love to see, you know, maybe not in the first round if we don't get one of these bigger names. Maybe you get like a Nick Bolton, Zaven Collins in a second, third round. I don't know. But we need to address it. I know that Neville Hewitt is somebody that the Eagles are interested in right now. That dude is a beast. And he's actually a converted safety from Marshall. And I think that he's somebody that comes out. He could definitely help with the run, more of a weak side linebacker. But I think he would come in and help this team immensely. So we need to address it. I would take a veteran, and I will take all the help I can get in the draft.
Yeah, just bringing up the list of courtesy of Draft Network. You know, you just talked about Nick Bolton, a guy I'm looking at. Cameron McRone, another guy.
Jabril Cox has been brought up.
Jabril Cox. I mean, I'm just talking about these guys, and this area is the range I'm trying to, like, look at. Because, I mean, obviously – Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah. I think he's like a safety in space.
Could you imagine if he dropped to 37?
I mean, hey, let's talk. But you know, how many years have the Eagle fans been wanting a linebacker to come in and play? I mean, Jabril Cox over 1,000, close to 1,000 snaps in the slot. That's kind of sexy, but is he an all around thumper in the run game? He needs to work there, but I think in space, he's a big 6'3", 230 something pound safety. like.
He'd be perfect.
He could run. He could run. So, I mean, that's what we're looking for. But overall, I mean, you're just talking about having serviceable linebackers. You know, Singleton, man, he showed up, man. Singleton really balled out. I think
he stepped up when we needed him, for sure.
Be dope to trade. Shout out to Todd in the chat. He says it'd be dope to trade Ertz for a decent linebacker. That's something that could happen. Like, if we don't get rid of him now in a trade, you can always trade him later on during the draft, like to move up,
yeah,
move down, maybe. You know, like if we can't get someone for him now, right now, like, you know, hey, you want to move up 10 spaces? Just move Ertz.
Yeah,
it's kind of weird, man. We just talking about moving. Like, yeah. Everyone's like, Kyle Pitts is in the house.
Yeah, yeah.
And maybe we could give him to the Bengals and get Logan Wilson, which I wanted last year. If not, maybe and then they would stay away from Pitts or Chase. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, the idea of trading back in the first round, if, you know, neither Chase or Pitts were to fall to you, and then you end up, you know, you trade back a few picks, maybe 5 picks, and then you could end up picking up another day 2 pick. I mean, that would put us right where we need to be for that linebacker chart that Gale just showed us. And we would have pretty much 2 picks in that area. So kind of like the idea of that.
Yeah.
5 picks would put us behind the Cowboys. Don't you dare, Evan.
Yeah. I was throwing a number out there.
I know. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I was shout out to Petey, says Cameron McGrone could do a bit of everything. I started watching him the other day, and man, he's got some really good tape. I was pretty interested in. And shout out to Matthew, says Monty Rice from University of Georgia, KJ Britt from Auburn. It was funny. I've been watching some Monty Rice. I seen Monty Rice covering Jalen Waddle.
Definitely has talent.
He was covering Jalen Waddle on a play. And I was like, this dude is running with Jalen Waddle, and Jalen Waddle runs a 4.3, potential 4.2 high. So I was like, maybe I need to look into this guy. We have a resident Giant fan in here. Shout out to NYGFOLYFE. What's up,
respect,
fellas?
Respect.
He said, what's up, fellas? He said,
appreciate you checking out
the show. He said, go Midnight Green. shout out to you for joining the chat, and congratulations on the Galladay sweepstakes.
Yes.
Yeah, holy.
Chris also needs Raven help. Collins is a beast. I would like him in the second round. He's an interesting prospect. Size, sure. The way that runs in space. But those are kind of the players you're like, man, these guys are solid, but do you see the Eagles drafting this guy?
Yeah.
Yo, Nick Bolton is somebody, and I mentioned Bolton and Collins, but if I had to pick between the two right now, that would really be a tough decision, to be honest with you, because they're both fairly talented. But Nick Bolton gets me really excited watching him. And I feel like he could be a linebacker on the Eagles that just flies around, crushes people, and isn't so horrible as coverage as some of the things I've seen. And he would be an intriguing pick for me, man, and I would love some linebacker help.
Isn't it weird that, you know, those times when we had solid linebacker play where it was like you really felt – comfortable about the linebackers in space. You felt like we had some guys in here that, well, I mean, back in the day when you had Trotter, you were like, yeah, that's the guy. Yeah. I mean, but you know, offenses have changed these days. You need a player that can run. But nowadays it's like, I look at our linebacker group, I'm like, sad trombone. I'm not even like trying to you just dream of having that guy to like man the middle and be a dog. I mean, Micah Parsons, you know.
It's a shame, man, because the last time I got excited about a linebacker is when we played Carolina, and that was Nigel Bradham, the way he was all over that field.
Yeah,
that's like the linebacker that I wish we could have on an every week basis. I mean, but looking at these players that are coming out of the draft, man, this thing is lined up so perfectly. Again, it just falls back to making sure that we make the right picks, you know what I mean? And then one of those key linebackers could fall right into our laps.
Yeah, it's very possible.
Now Pete has a solution here. He says, draft Patrick Surtain in the first and Nick Bolton the second. Could fix a lot for a deep. I think Surtain is the safe pick, but if I'm picking, I'm going J.C. Horn, man. Like, J.C. Horn has shown me incredible aggressiveness. He just ran a 4.34. You jumped out the 41-inch vertical. Mm-hmm.
So you're grabbing J.C. Horn over these guys.
I just think the upside. I think the upside is there. I think Surtain is he's been to some people CB1 the whole time, but if you go
Definitely respect, but I mean, definitely not in the first or second, right? You're not talking about picking them.
I just think they go offense, bringing a dog. I mean, if you're picking Patrick Surtain, you're moving back in this scenario.
Well, I mean, Pete brings up this point, and I think it would surely do wonders for our defense. I just look at this and I think to myself, okay, but who are we throwing to at this point? If we end up going this route, then Rager and Jaynaw are our starters.
That's
horrifying. We might be able to hold teams from scoring, but we're not going to be able to score ourselves.
Those other three teams in our division have number one wide receivers. Yep. We don't even have one yet. We can't even, declare Rager as that number one guy.
I think you need to go
after a weapon with the first pick, and then the next five out of six picks need to be defensive players.
I think he struck a nerve. Yeah,
he said, bro, Jason Warren can't do what Surtain can do, bro. You don't get to play for Saban if you're not. All right, well, if you go back to his freshman year and you saw CeeDee Lamb straight murder him as a freshman – I get it. He's a freshman. Look, I watched enough Surtain to know that he has issues when he doesn't get his hand on you early. Once he gets intermediate short game, when he has to turn and run, things get a little wiry. He likes to feel you out. It's getting weird here.
What you got, Pete?
You know what I mean? Devon Diggs played for Alabama, so just because you went to Alabama does not make you a good quarterback.
There's nothing wrong with the Cowboys. I think
Sergeant Sarcasm.
I think Surtain is he's probably one of the safest cornerbacks when you think of the football IQ. He's been starting since he was a freshman. He's got tons of snaps in the SEC. Again, when you get to the next level, it's not just about safe. You're talking about what their game can transcend to. So if you look at J.C. Horn, you want aggressive in your face, press man, slap you silly, and then turn around to the Eagles crowd and make them go nuts, because that's what we probably want to see, that kind of aggressiveness. And it depends on what kind of defense you're running too as well. So it's not – again, we're talking about – this is what I'm talking about, Ja'Marr Chase. All right. This is what I'm geared towards: offense, weapons in the first. If Sewell's there, I even grab Sewell. I mean, we need linemen too. So,
I mean, that shores up a position for the next decade. You draft Sewell, that's a position you don't have to worry about for 8 to 10 years to come.
Like Kelsey.
Yeah.
Lane. Brandon Brooks. How old are they?
Yeah.
30 something.
I think Lane was drafted in 13, right?
I mean, we're just getting long in the tooth of the position. You just got to, if you can
get
a player.
You see his workout
like
the other day? His pull ups?
Hey, who, Lane?
But those legs don't.
Can I see the scar?
Yeah, he's skipping a few leg days. You know what I mean?
I mean, he does have a pin. Doesn't Lane have a pin in his ankle now?
He's all jacked up still.
Yeah, he's definitely jacked up. Upper body, you know what I mean? Upper body all day, but those legs is what we need.
Most Alabama secondary players transition to the NFL. Most of them.
No, Surtain's great. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. We talk about the one that was drafted high by the Jets.
I was talking about the Cowboys. Shitty corner.
Humphrey, he's playing well. He's a guy that he's played well, and he's a guy that they said that he would have issues when he was running downfield, and he's turned into a solid corner.
Yeah, he's adjusted very well.
It's funny because I could talk about Ja'Marr Chase being the guy, but this is a defensive podcast.
Yeah, let's keep it defense.
We're trying to be defensive about the defense, but everyone wants to talk offense. It's okay. We'll get there. Going back to our defensive line here. There's no newsflash. There's no do-rags in this one, in the earring combinations. We have Brandon Graham, who, you know, making that Pro Bowl. Derek Barnett, can he stay healthy? He got paid, got his little 10 mil in the bank. Hopefully he's diversifying his money.
With
Josh Sweat, a fan favorite of mine and this podcast. Matt Leo. I didn't know what Matt Leo looked like until this moment.
Like a horse.
Joe Osman. Joe Osman. He's the fiery, motory, depth guy. What are you thinking about the defensive ends right off the bat?
I mean, Joe Osman, like, I remember the one year, like, he was big on the preseason, and they were, like, really high hopes for him. But again, he's like another one that just can't stay healthy, man. So I really would like to see that guy, you know what I mean, flash a little bit, and hoping that, you know what I mean, he gets more PT this year.
Honestly, from a defensive end standpoint, I think that we have more depth at that position than most of the other positions on the field. I really like Brandon Graham. I've been saying that for years. I mean, obviously, he's everybody knows what Brandon Graham is. You know what you're going to get out of Brandon Graham. It's solid production each and every year. Derek Barnett definitely needs to show us something. I mean, I think that Josh Sweat really made some waves last year and showed that he could potentially be that starting guy to start opposite of Brandon Graham. But I think that we're kind of somewhat deep for us in that position. Defensive end speaking.
I mean, you have one more depth yep. player right there to, you know, obviously we weren't going to sign
Clowney.
Not Clowney. My man just went to the Jets.
Vinny Curry.
I mean, Vinny Curry. In theory, it's nice. It's a nice story. But Eagle fan, wins the Super Bowl with the Eagles. Depth guy forced last year, came in cheap. You know, it is what it is. I think one more guy added to the mix would be nice. That could be via the draft. It's going back to the defensive tackle group. You know, we got Fletcher Cox. You know, he's a cog in the middle. Javon Hargrave started to play a little bit better as the season went on. We recently brought back Hassan Ridgeway. I like that signing.
I do too.
Ty McGill. Raekwon Williams bringing up the rear. I think this isn't the best defensive tackle class. I think there's some pieces on the back end, you know, that we're picking. I'm not sure exactly who I like. You know, I was looking at a guy out of USC recently, Marlon Tuipulotu, who had a meeting with the Eagles at the Senior Bowl. So I'm kind of interested in him in the range that we might pick in mid rounds. What are you thinking about the defensive line group? I mean, the defensive tackle group.
I think I feel a lot more comfortable than I do about the defensive end. You know, Brandon Graham getting up there in age, but you still, I think, pretty dependable. Josh Sweat, I love the upside there, hoping that he really can be something. Derek Barnett, you never know. He's got to stay healthy, and I'm not even sure he really stays on this roster. They could still let him go. Mm-hmm. But beyond that, I would address defensive end, but defensive tackle, I think he actually got some pretty damn good depth there. So, yeah, maybe go after someone in the later round to add some depth there. But T.Y. McGill and Hassan Ridgeway backing up Hargrave and Cox, if everybody's healthy, I like that. And then Raekwon Williams from Michigan State last year, maybe he's a young guy that can push one of the depth guys. But that's one of the more comfortable areas that I feel about this defense is defensive tackle.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I mean, this defensive tackles is definitely loaded up. If they just stay healthy, they can each, you know, play a key factor. Gail, how do you feel the fact that Jimmy just got finished saying that Barnett might not even be on the roster? Are you all right? That didn't get into your feelings, did it?
Yeah, I'm not a Barnett stand guy.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure.
I appreciate what he helped us get a Super Bowl ring.
Yeah, he's a Malcolm Butler. I get it. Yeah, you know
look at the logo on your wall. You have a Super Bowl logo on there.
I get it. You know what I mean? But that was all Brandon Graham. He recovered the ball.
Hey, this guy. It takes a team, man.
You're right. You're right.
He said, "You talk like a baseball player." guy. This guy. Not one guy here. Pete Nathan says, what do y'all think of Kwity Paye? I think, you know, he's solid, but do Michigan? I think
I feel good about defensive tackle, so I'm not really interested.
I just don't think he's going to be he's not going to be on the board in the second round.
Yeah. Exactly. There's two Miami Hurricanes that, you know, I mean, first. I think going to get drafted, but I don't see them falling into our hands.
Oh, Phillips?
Russo and Phillips, yes, sir.
You know, Jalen Phillips, if Phillips
was there in the second, you know.
Oh, yes. That would be, Gail, we talked about that earlier. Yep, that's that defensive end depth right there. See you later, Derek Barnett. I'll help you pack your bags.
I'll pack them for you.
Deshae in the comments is, if Josh Wetter, if you're out there, he is talking about your knees right now. Okay. And he says, you're on a snap count. You know, I think obviously we know that his history with, you know, he thought he almost had to amputate his knee when his knee was high school,
right? Was he going to get to keep the bottom half of the leg?
Yeah. this guy, no sympathy. You know, this guy, we just talked about, no sympathy.
My brain's just wired to tell jokes, dude. I don't know.
We have a Lieutenant Sarcasm.
Nah, listen, man, look, it's Sweat. I feel confident on Sweat this year. I mean, this is his third year going into the seat, fourth year. You know what I mean? I think it's that time, man. You know what I mean? He showed us a lot of what he has in the tank last year, and I think he's going to bring out a whole lot more this year. So I think he's going to be a key factor.
Now, shout out to Mucci. He says Eagles need to look at
Neville Hewitt. Yeah.
And shout out to Mucci. Check out his YouTube channel, man. Good stuff over there. Paul from London says, I like Hargrave, but I think we can get someone better. Wow. Mm. All right. Okay. I thought he played a little bit better. I saw in the chat earlier someone mentioned something about Malik Jackson. I wish he didn't. The way that our bank account is set up, we save money by letting Malik Jackson, who is now with the Browns, right?
Would you have rather had Malik Jackson or Hargrave? Because personally, I would rather have Hargrave.
Oh, yeah, dude. Hargrave, yeah. I think he really turned it on at the end of the year, man. He's actually pretty damn good. I think people are going to find out this year if they stay healthy.
Yeah. But then if he carries it into this year, definitely.
Yeah, stay healthy. Him and Cox together, who are you double-teaming? Good luck.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. You know, you think about we just keep on thinking, you forget that Jim Schwartz isn't here. So
yeah.
Our defense could look.
Whole new scheme, man.
I'll go kick a picket fence right now. I don't give a shit.
I mean, that's one of the excitements going into the new year, because it's a new scheme all the way around. Come on, let's cut all the bullshit. You know what I mean? Had we kept the same coaching staff right now, would we be like, oh shit, we already know what scheme they're gonna go
with? Yeah, exactly.
Well, we already know, you know what I mean? These rivalries, these other teams already can figure us out. Here goes another long season. But this year, we got a new coaching staff, we got a new scheme. I'm excited, man. Let's go.
Do you think Gannon is going to end up rotating the defensive line the same way that Jim Schwartz did? Because that was one of the things that, as much trash as we talked on Jim Schwartz, I thought that he rotated that line pretty well.
I think it's a big thing in the NFL to do that, obviously. And that's how, you know, those kind of teams win championships. But it's just kind of dependent on how much you rotate. So that also comes back to how much talent. If you've got a guy out there that demands he's on the field, you know, all three downs, then you got to keep him out there. But we don't necessarily have that guy. And I think Josh Sweat wasn't necessarily – yes, he had injury history, and yes, you got to kind of watch that. He's had a couple dings along the way. But the reason he isn't playing as much is because he needed to improve on his run game. He was, you know, mostly a pass rusher, and there's a lot of things he needs to work on. I'm hoping in year three he's going to be that guy. Very high on him, but that's why he really hasn't been playing. So hopeful year three is big for him, though.
Shout out to Matthew. He says, Hollywood, I am Sergeant Sarcasm from Twitter. Oh, yes. Okay.
How you doing, Matthew?
Oh, yes. Yes, you do know.
We're just taking your title, man. Sorry.
But he says, for safeties, Divine Diablo, Paris Ford from Pitt.
Just the name itself has me sold.
Ufanega? Divine Diablo. That's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, that name right there just has me sold. Bring him on.
Jacoby Stevens from LSU. How about who was the cornerback? His name's Trill Williams. That's kind of sick. That's a sick.
It is a sick name. That's a sick name.
I'll take Morey if we're talking about safeties.
Josh Wetter. Josh Sweat is a good name, no?
Nice.
Josh Sweat is a good name. Yeah.
Pete says he got clapped by Josh Sweat. Pete said he got his cheeks clapped by Josh Sweat.
I'm not so sure if that's what he said.
I don't think that's what he said.
You did it to yourself.
Micah Parsons in the house. All right.
He said, "What the hell is even that?" Josh Sweat clapped my cheeks once.
Wrong. Wrong.
Oh man! We need that. We need that Michael Jordan meme. Stop it and get some help.
One thing Deshae says, Gannon loves to do is disguise what he's doing. And I think that's one thing about Jim Schwartz and the fact that a lot of defensive players around the league were saying that, you know, they're not disguising what they're doing. We know what they're doing. They have someone like Michael Jaquette alone on an island. Jaquette Island is a thing in Philadelphia only.
What can I do to put you in some good years today? Talking to the wide out.
We got you, Pete.
Joe says our defense has to play mean. We've been playing softball shit for the past 5 years, and it's ridiculous. We have to strike fear into other offense. I mean,
I think I'm going to lose my shit when I see the first blitz of the year.
Well, I think the thing is, you know, people talk about what Jonathan Gannon is going to do. The thing is, we literally have – not only do we not know what he's going to be running here, he's never been a defensive coordinator, but we never even met the guy. He's never talked to the media yet. You know, but what you can take is the work he's done with Minnesota and all the previous work, whatever. But, you know, most recently, seeing what he did in Minnesota with those defensive backs and then in Indianapolis, and you've seen some guys that went there and really improved their careers, really, you know, brought them back to life. So I think, you know, with a team that's really struggling in the secondary, like we've talked about, this is great for us. And, you know, Prime just mentioned, he can't wait to see the first blitz. I think we're going to get a lot of that. You know, I have no real idea of what he's going to bring, but just hearing what kind of person he is from Anthony Harris and other guys watching tapes, sounds like he's got a lot of fire, a lot of excitement. And I know we're asking a lot because a lot of us grew up watching Jim Johnson. And if you want to go back to Buddy Ryan, whatever, just saying, we expect that defense to come out and punch you right in the mouth. That's Philadelphia Eagles football. And damn it, that's what we want. So Jonathan Gannon, baby, I'm more than excited about him.
Hey, Jimmy, you got, are you talking sick?
Jimmy was waiting.
We got to get Jimmy. I got to get you to one of my baseball games, man.
Hell yeah. Yo, one time somebody actually brought me to one, and, like, they were missing a bunch of players. So they're like, yo, Smitty, you can play, right? And I'm like, I was a little half-tuned in at the moment. I'm like, you know what? Let's go, baby. Ended up getting, like, a triple, a double. Dude, dude, it was too much. But good times. I'll definitely show up and be your support, brother.
I appreciate you, bro.
I would hire you to talk to my imaginary child over here about, like, pepping him up to play in a game. You know, like,
dude, I was a baseball coach before all this stuff happened to me. Yeah,
I said just slide head first.
Yo, just imagine the parents are trying to get out of control. I'd strike fear into them by just saying something to Mike. Like, they'd be like, oh, you know what?
I'll have what he's having. Yeah, man. I just think overall, I feel like, you know, obviously the offense is going to take the cake of all the talk right now. If you listen to talk radio, if you listen to podcasts, it's all about Jamar Chase, but you know, someone in the chat, I think it was Pete, was saying that that Jamar takes plays off. I mean, all wide receivers take plays off. That's the thing.
That's coming from a former wide receiver, right?
You don't like
that's
to like
it is. Straight from the horse's mouth.
If they're not involved in the offense, they will take plays off.
Yeah,
I think this is gonna be an ongoing thing between Gale and Pete now. Yeah,
I mean. I'm not gonna even go there again, but I'm gonna say that you know, the talk of the town is wide receivers. Talk of the town is Kyle Pitts. I think Kyle Pitts is really taking over the discussion. I think now people are talking themselves out of Chase.
Yeah.
Like,
I don't know why
they ride the wave, Gale. You know that Jalen Waddle 1 week and then,
yo, think of a more athletic Anquan Boldin with playmaking ability, stretch the defense. We'll play with. He's got his play strength is ridiculous, and then people will talk about Kyle Pitts and moving him to X. I mean, he's a tight end. I mean, he's a unicorn to some people. But I'm saying, like, I at the end of the day, I feel like Ja'Marr Chase. Like,
if he's there, you can move up.
He's the icing, man. He is the icing. He's the entire cake, as a matter of fact. If you can get Ja'Marr Chase, I think that this offense can be completely retooled. It would be night and day from last year.
We had someone in the chat saying, it was Kelly. Kelly said he coached in Texas and wide receivers did this. It's a thing. If you don't get targets, you become crazy. Man. You become crazy as a wide receiver. Lazy Divas says Mark.
Dude, we know when to put it on. Calm down.
So Mark is he's an Oregon fan. If I said Oregon, right? Because Oregon people get upset when you say Oregon.
Well, Oregon.
Oregon. Oregon.
Sounds like a Lord of the Rings character.
He's a big Sewell guy. So I feel like the only red flag I have on Sewell is he has his own YouTube channel with his girlfriend. Kind of cringy.
Yeah. That was pretty cringy. I saw a video of that as well, and it was.
Well, like, who's watching it? Who's the weird one watching? I'm sitting here like, what am I watching? He's like, oh, we got a new apartment, and here's the
all you, bro.
here's my sneaker collection. All right. You know, for about to be like a multi-millionaire, his sneaker collection could be better.
That's not a red flag to you as a sneakerhead.
The a little bit.
He probably found that as disrespect.
The YouTube channel was kind of – I remember
– I'm writing that in my draft profile right now.
We were roasting him in the chat. We were like, yo, you know Sewell has his own YouTube channel? What if he becomes an Eagle and he sees this? We're sorry.
Yeah. Get that out the way now.
We'd love to have you on our YouTube channel.
Exactly.
Pete says a lot of players have YouTube channels.
That kind of YouTube channel is the thing.
I mean, I don't know, like if you have your own YouTube channel, but then if you have one as a couple.
A lot of players do, though.
I know, but to me, it's sort of a – if you're a head coach, you're like – you know, like
is it going to be the same faces after the draft?
You know, like again, like here in Philadelphia, people will criticize everything and anything. Nick Sirianni's speech, his press conferences, his beard, his aftershave. What else? I mean, we're criticizing Joe Flacco right now and the neck beard.
Anything. Look for an opportunity to criticize absolutely anything.
We're making fun of our linebackers do-rags right now and the earring combinations.
Making fun. I was praising.
I was sweating it. It was pretty like, hey, we need something to appreciate these days. Hmm. Michael Leroy Wright says that's the same people that watch Goodwin season. I actually watched the Goodwin season.
You would.
Hey man, this is what we do. We make sure that we follow up on all our players, what their mentals are like, and he obviously broke it down and made it known that he had a kid on the way, or he had a child. He wasn't going to play, and he announced it on his channel. So it is what it is.
That's cool. I mean, respect. Went back to San Fran and
got cut the next day.
Yep.
I mean, I
thanks
suppose,
for that pick, man.
I and suppose we are being a little unfair because I know that there's a lot of players out there that are streaming, playing video games and whatnot. I don't think that's necessarily a red flag. But as far as what Gail and I were saying, the couple's YouTube page is just a different level from streaming video games.
Is that a thing? Is that a red flag?
I say yes.
Yeah, I love my girlfriend, but I don't have a YouTube channel with her.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't do a YouTube
channel. I'm going to join a Facebook account.
It's not as big a red flag as the whole Micah Parsons thing.
Yes.
You want to do that stuff with your girlfriend, do that, that's fine. But the whole Micah Parsons thing.
Yeah, I'll take that much. Yeah,
I mean, anybody that says I'm going to Sandusky you, I have –
That's not even funny. Yeah,
I mean, I got issues, man. I got issues, man. That's it. Just
and you're really on, doesn't... and you're on the same damn campus. Like, really?
Yep. Like, what the?
What's in the water, man? What's in the water?
Shit.
Lance is shooting from the hip here. He says, "How can the offense be complete? Lineman has age on them. Some of them were out last season. Maybe he's answering to someone else." Yeah, I mean, I'm talking about line is it's a need. Like, it'd be funny if all this Jamar Chase talk and they end up getting Rashawn Slater from TCU, and everyone like, "Oh, now we got a TCU lineman and a wide receiver."
Yeah,
just had to speak it into existence.
No, but the thing is, we talk about needing depth there, but it's like, it's not like we're blowing over it. First off, we're talking about defense today. But the thing is, it's like, if you're talking to us, we've addressed it. And the thing is, obviously, we have to stay healthy. Yes, we want everyone to stay healthy on the team. But if this offensive line is healthy, yeah, they're good. But you got to address that.
Slater's Northwestern. Yeah. I was thinking about his Greg Newsom is his teammate.
I like Greg Newsom. Like
Northwestern. But how about Robert in the chat here?
Yeah. Breakdown.
Where'd Jimmy go?
Hey, Evan, want to read that for us?
It's a lot of words. If we don't trade it, Robert says, let me preface that. If we don't trade any picks, which is impossible, my 11 picks are Jamar Chase at 6, Pat Freiermuth. Did I say that correctly?
Yeah.
We'll take
it. At 37, Tylan Wallace at 70. Jamin Davis, linebacker from Kentucky, at 84. At 150, it's a big jump there. We have a long gap in between 84
and 150. If he falls to here.
Yeah. Amari Rogers from Clemson. Good. Asking a lot. Guy Gale's been talking about a lot. Drake Jackson, center out of Kentucky at 189 or 156, I'm sorry. At 189, we got Jarrett Patterson, running back from Buffalo. 224, Shamar Jean-Charles. get through the French pronunciation on that guy. Then we've got Lamont Wade from Penn State and Patty Fisher from Northwestern. Oh, and Josh Bell. Though. Yeah.
Is that Drake and Josh?
I don't think so. Patty Fisher. Drake Jackson, someone that you've been hyping up a lot, Gale. I think that we do need to start thinking beyond Jason Kelce, obviously. We are in the waning years of his career. I don't anticipate much more time spent here. So, I would think that it would be nice to have a guy just learn behind Kelce for a year. I love that idea.
Yeah, someone just made a comment. I think, you know, obviously you have to address a lot of areas of need. You have to go in with, you know, some kind of plan, but really to go into the draft and think that you know anything that's going to happen. And, you know, luckily we're sitting at 6, so we only have to wait for 5, you know, teams in front of us, you know, for now. But look, we got to go in with a plan. We'll see who falls to us, but that's the thing. We have so many holes. Let's see who the best player available is. Let's get that best player each round, and we could really improve this team because there's so many holes. But I would go after a weapon, like I said, and then I would address the defense with predominantly most of the rest of the picks, like 7 out of the 10 rest of the picks, I would probably go defense.
I don't even think I could remember that name.
Oh, Kelly says Mala Sala Amave Lalua from Oregon. Hey, you know, Sewell's shout out to Mark, who was saying Sewell's younger brother is a linebacker who was like freshman Pac-12 player of the year or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Pete is back. Jim Morrissey, another center that might be there in the 6th round if we miss out on Drake. It's funny, like, it's like each person has their own like little prospects that they're pumping up. Shout out to Austin Watkins Jr. From UAB. Sammy Watkins and Jalen Watkins' cousin. We just did a video with him, wide receiver. He's getting a lot of hype. Did work at Senior Bowl. I'd take pick a look at him at a UAB. crispy routes for his size. But, you know, we all have our guys, and it's cool to see all these different names in the chat. I think there's one other comment here. Matthew says Creed Humphrey from Oklahoma, Landon Dickerson. Landon Dickerson has he's the one with the injury history, you know?
Yeah.
Torn ACL. He's got a couple things there. But I think if anyone would know anything about Landon Dickerson, it'd be Stout. So, you know, obviously we got to think about the line. Trenches is not fun. Talk about the grunt work here. We all want to talk about the Jamar Chases of the world, but at the end of the day, it's about protecting. It's about trench warfare. It's about Fletcher Cox getting a replacement down the road. But I don't think that's going to happen in this draft. But before we get out of here, we hit the hour mark here. Any last words, Evan?
No, I think that our plate is full right now. And but what I mean by that is we have a lot of work to do. We're not going to be able to, unfortunately, I don't think, solve everything in 1 year unless we have some divine intervention come through and, just something happens. Someone pops off that we didn't expect to pop off. We find some diamond in the rough in late rounds. But ultimately, this is probably a 2 year fix. So the best thing you could do is just chip away and fill as many holes as you can and then readdress the following year.
Prime.
Yeah, two quick things, man. I want to give a shout out to the Elite Superfans. This past week, they put a video together to send over to Giovanni. Giovanni ended up reaching back. He was really thrilled about the videos we ended up sending him. Super excited. Definitely lifted his spirits up. I mentioned to him that, you know what I mean, I will be rocking that Carson Wentz jersey with him. So, you know what I mean, say what y'all want to say. The second thing is, you know,
I'll say it under my breath.
Second thing is I want to give a shout out to my Camden D-backs. You know, the season starts. Ready to go. The season starts on Sunday. You know what I mean? Let's get ready for that repeat. Got the privilege to go ahead and sponsor them this year. So look out for the D-backs with the Prime logos on there. I'll be bringing that out shortly. All right. More details to follow. Other than that, you know, stay safe. Make sure you guys are checking on your loved ones, your friends, whatever the case may be. And we'll see you guys on the next one.
Sure. Jimmy.
Well, first off, thanks to everybody that tuned in tonight. It was great. And you guys, of course, it was awesome talking with you guys. I'm always excited to talk about birds. But I think, you know, if anything, Evan kind of said, you know, we have a lot of holes to fill. So it's not going to be all fixed in this draft, but we got 11 picks. Maybe we can hit on like 6 or 7. I'm asking for a lot here, but maybe we address the defensive side of the ball. I think you should get a weapon in the first round just because of the fact that let's find out if Jalen Hurts is that quarterback of the future. So it might be a bumpy road, but let's get excited about that unknown we talked about because we knew what was going to come. Prime said we knew exactly what would happen if Jim Schwartz and Doug Peterson out there. So they're not. Let's get pumped up. I know these coaches are young. The players are young. Oh, my God. I feel Jason Kelce coming for another speech, baby. So we get a little excited about these birds. I know I am. Hope you guys are all staying safe. Thanks for tuning in. And go birds!
I'm just going to say, Howie Roseman, Jeffrey Lurie, open your hearts to the drafts department, the scouting group has done a phenomenal job over the years. If you would just listen to them when they say Jeremy Chinn is there, listen, open your hearts and listen, and hopefully they can make the right picks. We got enough picks. Hopefully we might get even a couple more. I know we just lost the comp pick last year for next year, signing Joe Flacco. So hate to break it to you, but overall, man, I just think these guys need to just really hone in, man. This is where we win. You win the draft. You win in multiple years. I mean, just let alone 1 year, you could get yourself back. It's all about getting cheap talent, young talent, and getting really solid picks, and just doing the dirty work. This ain't pretty. A rebuild ain't pretty, but it is what it is. We broke.
Don't expect much at free agency, guys. We don't have money.
We got like 1 million in cap space, bro. Like we can.
We got our stimmy. In cap
you got
space.
Linebackers at home.
We could barely afford a Royale with cheese. Okay. It is what it is. We will see you guys in the next one. And as always, fly, Eagles, fly.